Hello and welcome to another weekly teaching from Vineyard Community Church, St. Louis.
Let's get started. Seeing people with new eyes. This really, if you kind of summarize what Jesus did when he helped his disciples learn how to live, he taught them how to see differently. And you see that all the way through the scripture, where Jesus is always telling them to look at things. And he's saying to them things like, open your eyes. All you who have ears, let you hear. And all who have eyes, let you see. Right? He just talked a lot about that. And he talked about to the Pharisees, and he said, you know, you're blind. You know, you look right at something and you can't see it. In fact, you're so blind that you're actually taking people who are blind as well and you're going into a ditch. And so he talked about this one, and of course he's not talking about saying you can't physically see. He's saying that when you have something wrong in your heart, you can't see from your heart. In fact, when he would talk to the Pharisees, he says to them that they have blindness because of their hardness of heart. So what Jesus is always doing, he's helping us to see people the way he sees them. Right? If you look in the scriptures, it's almost humorous because over and over again, the disciples would see a person and see it one way, and then Jesus would see that same person a completely different way, right? Remember that? Like when they would go to Samaria, like they hated everybody they saw, especially this woman that they saw. And Jesus loved everybody he saw and amazingly poured his grace and mercy out on the whole town, right? Then you see the times where these wise disciples are helping control things where the kids start climbing up on Jesus' lap and he looks at them, get him away. And he goes, whoa. You're seeing these kids completely wrong. You're looking right at the child and you're blind. You can't see what's going on. You know, the one that always gets me is, remember the blind guy that's yelling out, screaming out for God's mercy? And what do they tell him to do? Shut up. Just don't bother him. And the blind man is healed, right? So we see this all the way through. And so what we want to be doing, especially today, is we want to say, our prayer today is, I want all of us to be able to start seeing better. Seeing through a lens of a soft heart. Because when we see through a lens of a hard heart, we're blinded. So as we talk about people, we can look at them. You notice you have lots of ways that you see people. You know, have you ever had a time where you've seen a person one way, and all of a sudden something happens and you see them a whole different way that's much better? Same person, same things going on. What happened there? Well, you're able to see clearly for a little bit. You know, to think about that, I had a friend of mine I grew up with. His name was Scott. And Scott, been through a lot with him. We're out of high school now. Scott has struggled with a lot of mental issues, tied into some drugs, I think, a mixture. And he's had a couple crazy things that everybody heard about, that he kind of had a bit of a mental breakdown in situations. But Scott, I got him to start coming to our Bible study. I'd become a Christian and started getting Scott to come to our Bible study. And he's doing quite well. He's out in my garage one time. My brother's had a motorcycle. Scott's sitting on the motorcycle. He says, hey, can I just drive this around the block? And I thought, my brother's not here, but sure. Right? Scott takes off. A long time goes by. Scott's not back. I'm in trouble. So I go and tell my brother, this friend of mine got on your motorcycle and took off. And I don't know where he is. And I was so ticked. And we went driving around looking for Scott. And we finally found Scott. I think this motorcycle ran out of gas. He's out in the country somewhere. I don't know how we found him. But Scott was having a mental breakdown. and he wasn't quite coherent as we got him in the car. And I was so mad at him. I was in the back seat, and I said, "Scott, what were you thinking?" I started going in, just tearing in Scott. And my brother leans back, and I could see my brother was choking up. And I instantly saw Scott differently in a moment, right? I couldn't see him, and then I saw him. How you see things, especially how you see people, is how you live, and how you act is how you see things. You know, it was about 2.5 years ago, I was reading a scripture about judge not, lest you be judged. You know, condemn not, lest you be condemned. I've read that a lot of times. I just began thinking about that scripture all the time. And then I feel like God just kind of spoke to me and said, what would it be like if you never judged or condemned a person in your heart? And I started thinking on that, and I thought, that would be a lot better if I could do that, right? So from then on out, I've been really aware of what's happening in my heart at a level I've never been before. And what I've recognized is I judge and condemn. I do it very sophisticated because I'm a pastor, right? But I judge and condemn and justify myself all the time. I mean, I'm telling you, someone pulls out in front of me, I am there, man. I am judging, I am condemning, I am making judgments, I'm justifying why I was right and they were wrong, right? Someone hurts me, man, what did I do and this and that, and I'm wrestling back and forth with judgment and condemnation for the way they treated me. Debbie can look at me wrong sometimes when I judge her, right? I have people I love, people I don't love. I mean, I'm a mess. You guys know what I'm talking about? If you really get honest with what you're doing is you're raising yourself up, maybe not a lot, but just enough to show that you're not going to be condemned, and so you justify and you judge and you condemn. I'm telling you, I have had people who are walking down the street and I just don't like them. And you guys are like, I don't like this person. This person is a bad, I just am ticked off. I don't even know who they are. That's how bad it is in here sometimes in my heart. You know, I find myself in this place of just God just, and again, God doesn't even judge me when I realize that about my heart. That's just so amazing. Like, he's just like, yeah, he still loves me. That feeling of kind of seeing things differently. I remember one time I was at a grocery store, and I was waiting on Debbie, so I was just kind of in that fire lane or where you're not supposed to be, hanging out, just waiting, you know, to pick her back up. And there's a guy that comes out, and there's a big trash can with like an ashtray, a big ashtray with sand in it. Everybody puts their cigarettes out in, you know. And he comes out, and he begins digging through all, like cigarette, digging and getting all these butts of cigarettes out of there. And I'm thinking, ooh. I kind of just have this like, poor guy, you know, and my heart is kind of just, man, that guy needs some help, just a little bit, right? And instantly, God reminded me of me in high school, digging through ashtrays, finding cigarettes to smoke. And at that moment, I realized he saw me then. He sees this guy, and all of a sudden, I have a different perspective on this man. How you see is just really important. Now, today we've titled, and Danielle will be glad. We have a teaching team, and she comes up with clever things, and so this is the Danielle title. It's very good, Danielle. Taking care of Jesus. Every day, taking care of, you know, that's not different. All right, only old people know what I just said there. Now, and here's the thing about that. That may sound really strange, but then what this verse talks about is that when we interact with people, we're interacting with Jesus. And here's what's amazing about this. Have you ever thought about this? The God of the universe is affected by us. Put it any way you want to theologically, it's pretty clear. We can bring joy to God, we can bring blessing to God, we can bring glory to God, or we can hurt God and break his heart. That's hard for my mind to get around, but the reality is we have a true relationship with God, and he is affected by what we do. And we, in this spot that we're going to be talking about, this place of understanding that we can affect God. We can affect Jesus and how we love people. If you have your Bibles or if you have your phones, which likely you have your phones, and some of you real spiritual people have your Bibles, you can turn to Matthew 25. And we're going to start moving into 34 through 40. But before that, to put this into context, before we get into this, it's really talking of Jesus preparing them for the time that Christ returns. It even goes into chapter 24 some, and talking about in a place in which that he starts about, there's a time when Christ is going to return, like all the lights turn on, Jesus becomes king and judge. And the hour is unknown. And the whole concept, if you look at all the parables that precede this, they're all talking about this place of be ready, be prepared. Whatever you're doing, you guys know that feeling when someone walks in on you, you think, what am I doing here? It's like, Jesus is coming now. How are you living? It's the whole concept, be prepared for when he returns. And so we look at the places it starts giving these parables, like the 10 virgins who are waiting with their oil, right? Are they ready? Are they prepared? Then he gives the parable of the bags of gold in which the master went away and gave them money to say invest. And he's going to return and say, I'm going to hold you accountable with what I gave you. Right? And this is the context. And then he goes into, in verse 31, he says, the Son of Man will come in glory and all the angels with him, and he will sit on the glorious throne and he's going to bring judgment. And so he begins separating the goats from the sheep. The sheep are on the right, the goats are on the left. Now this kind of goat you don't want to be. This is not a good goat. This is not the greatest of all time goat. This is not what you want to be. Bad to be a goat in this situation. You want to be on the right. And basically those on the right are those who have trusted and given themselves to him and followed him. People who have had faith. We understand this is not about works. We aren't saved through our works, but this is about faith. But it's describing this, and it begins giving the definition of the people on his right. And here's what he says. He says, then, let's see if I get there. For some reason I'm not going back. There we go. Sorry about that. All right. Then the king will say, Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. I mean, that's what I want to hear. Do you want to hear that? That's what I want to hear at the end of my life, the end of time. I want to hear this, the kingdom has been prepared for you. Come, enter this glorious place. This is describing this joyous moment. Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take the inheritance of the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. And then it goes on and gives definition. It says, for I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. And I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came and you visited me. Now those on the right, those who had faith in Jesus, that faith is being described. Because when we love God, we say the greatest commandment, love God, love others. And this is just the fruit of faith. And that's what he's highlighting. As he talks about the hungry, the thirsty, the stranger, the naked, the sick, the prisoner. Now, the people on his right, they were a bit surprised. And they said, then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go and visit you? The king will reply, "Truly, I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters of mine, you did it for me." Now, this is talking about the least of these. This is talking about what we've been talking about, the poor, the marginalized, the people with great need. And sometimes the word "the poor" is hard for us to interpret, because back then it included lots of places, but it's not just, it's physically poor, but we see in this case it's a place that people are at places of being overlooked and marginalized from prison or being sick, you know, or needing clothes or needing food or something to drink, or even just being a stranger, a foreigner coming in, not having a place to go. And as we look at this, as it's talking about saying, when faith is expressed, it is not a mental assent, you know, or it's not even a feeling of you know, of what you feel about something. It's showing that faith is always expressed in action. You know, in James 2, it talks a lot about this, because it talks about how much God loves the poor and how highly he values them. But in verse 6, it says, "But those in you dishonor the poor." And he goes on to say, he says, "How is it that you can say to your brother and sister who claims to have faith, you know, to your brother and sister who's in need, who has needs clothes or food, and you say to them, go in peace and be warm and be fed, but not do anything?" Right? It's basically saying that the way you express love is by action, not just by feeling or sensing or agreeing with. It's not a mental assent. It's something you actually, when you have true love, it always produces actions. You know, and it goes on, you know, the famous line of, you know, it says, "But say, you will say, I have faith, and the other person says, I have deeds. And it's, show me your faith without deeds. You show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds," right? So faith is expressed in action. So sometimes we conclude with that, well, I just need to start doing a bunch of stuff. Right? I just need to really get on the ball and start doing all kinds of things, right? What we see also in Scripture is that sacrificial deeds done without a heart of mercy are completely dead and don't have any effect. You know, what Jesus talked about, which is, he's just referring back to Scripture in Psalms, Hosea, and other places. He's saying, don't you understand? Because the Jewish were sacrificing costly animals and all their sacrifices, and they were think they were pleasing to God. And yet they were making all the choices to do these sacrificial things, but they were completely missing it. And Jesus said, "I don't desire what? Sacrifice, I desire mercy." Go and see what that means. And so Jesus would often use this same phrase over and over again, because you would have even the Pharisees who they would go in and they would actually make sure that they gave 10% of everything they had to such a level to make sure they gave fully and sacrificially with everything they had. And Jesus comes in and says, "You do all that, but you're missing it, because you're missing justice and mercy." And he would also often say, "Go and understand what that phrase means. I don't desire sacrifice; I desire mercy." Because when we don't live with mercy, even when we do good deeds, we do it often with a superior attitude of self-righteousness, which is appalling to God, right? Now, the wildest part about this is the very last line, in which He says, the king will reply, because these people are perplexed, like, when did I do this to you, Jesus? And he says, the king will reply, speaking of King Jesus, truly, I tell you, whatever you did to the one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters of mine, you did it for me. You actually served Jesus. This is what it means to an action of faith with a heart of mercy. When we do that, we actually are directly ministering to God. Tangibly. Mother Teresa was often asked about this verse. This would probably be, if you put a life verse for Mother Teresa, this would be it. She's in Calcutta doing this amazing stuff with this poor and the dying and the outcast. And I read an article that says, for Mother Teresa, this passage wasn't just a pious metaphor. It described reality. The secret of her infectious joy and boundless compassion was that in every person, every paralytic, every leper, every invalid, every orphan, she recognized Jesus. There's a story of this Hindu man who was doing social work in India as well, and he came and approached her, and he says, you know, we're both doing social work. He says, the difference was that he was and his co-workers were doing it for something while Mother Teresa was doing it for someone. And so when we talk about loving people at all levels, right? Any need. This is extreme needs, but any need. We have to understand we're doing it for someone. We're actually doing it to Jesus. And when you gain that, it no longer becomes a burden. It connects you to God in this deep way and is filled with joy. So, the thing about that is these, oftentimes when you get to these places, you think, sounds great. I got a really busy life and I can barely handle my kids right now. Please don't add another layer of things on me. And all I'm going to say is this, is we only can learn how to see differently with Jesus teaching us how to see differently. We can't just flip some switch. Even the disciples, after all that time, he was very gracious to them, but he would see people and they would see him the other way. He would see people, they'd see him. And over time, they began seeing how he saw, but it took them to be discipled in that. And so, and there's never any condemnation when Jesus teaches you. You never are condemned. He's always helping you and using what's right in front of you to teach you to start living this way. Because when you live this way, it's not just about the extreme poor in prison. It's about the continuum of how you love people in a way that is life-giving. That is in place of part of your life with Jesus, and you're connecting to him that way. From all the ways of the way you listen to him and try to understand who he's wanting to minister, to as you're ministering with his power of the Holy Spirit, and you're experiencing him in that person there. But we have to kind of learn that. And so what I want to do is I want to close with some things that I think can be helpful in kind of taking this very big concept of loving people and understanding those in need and having a place of mercy in your heart and having it come into actions in a way that we can start just learning it. How do we start learning that as individuals, as a church? So I'm going to just go run through these things I think might be helpful, and then I want to just pray for you after that as well. The first off is begin paying attention to your heart. This is where everything comes from, right? That's why it tells us to guard our heart, because everything flows from it. So when you ever feel things like this, you have some idea, I'd like to start doing that more. You start jumping past your heart. Don't do that. It starts from your heart. So I'd say one of the first things I would encourage you to do is begin recognizing the difference between a heart of condemnation compared to a heart of mercy. You know? In other words, pay attention to when you see people and you're interacting, is your heart a heart of mercy? And again, we understand that being merciful doesn't mean that you're not clear that there's sin and problems there, right? Jesus was with a woman who was caught in adultery, and he saw the sin, but he never condemned her. He had a heart of compassion. But how is it this place in which that you actually, the difference between you find yourself judging or condemning or raising yourself up versus a soft heart, a heart that is a heart of mercy? Just begin letting God show you that, right? Isn't that what David said? I can't see my own heart. God, Holy Spirit, show me my heart. Show me what's really going on down there. And he's an amazing teacher, and he's so gracious. So that's the first thing, is start recognizing that. Start at your heart level. Remember, God desires humble and compassionate, not proud and sacrificial. There's, you know, and one thing I'd say on that is that here's a good trick that isn't a trick, it's a biblical trick. So Jesus said it, so I guess it's not a trick. It's a truth. But he says, when you give to the poor, don't let your right hand know what your left hand's doing. Because when you let your right, when you do something good to the poor, you have a tendency of having pride come in and telling people about it. So learn to not do that. Learn to understand, how do I do that with a tender heart, with humility and compassion, not pride and sacrifice? Like, because sometimes we just want to check all the boxes and miss it. And sometimes we are so proud we don't even want to enter in with it. Humility takes us to a place of being identifying with. That's why it's gospel with the poor. It's never gospel to the poor. It's gospel with the poor. In that car ride back with Scott, I wasn't up here and Scott was down here. We were both on the same level as soon as I could see straight. Right? When you're seeing correctly, you're not above people. Right? And so, remember, he's looking for that. He's not looking for lots of sacrifice and doing all these things, telling everybody how much you did these things. He's looking for you to just be humble and just allow compassion to take you to things. And the last is just learn by doing with the Holy Spirit as your teacher. You know, you can't do this without the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you, you cannot do this. But with the Holy Spirit, you can do this, and you will find out I'm made to do this. And so understand that he wants to teach you. And the way that you learn is not just in your head and reading a bunch of books. That could be very helpful. But the way you learn is actually practicing, just like the disciples had to figure out, right? They had to just have situation after situation. And so all I'd say is don't feel bad about just trying stuff. And then let God show you how to do it better the next time, right? And understand that you want him to teach you, but you learn in context of doing. And him coming alongside you and showing you how to do this from a heart. And you won't do it right. And you'll have lots going on inside of you, but that's the place that God starts teaching you. And it doesn't have to be something extreme. It can be just somebody that you pay attention to this week that has a need. But some of you will think, I'm going to do something crazy and just go down and hang out at Oasis for a while, or I'm going to go and spend some time with some homeless people. That's fine too. It's not about that. It's just about trying to figure out what would be good for you and Jesus to have some teaching time. And understand it's not top down. You're looking to come alongside and let God teach you how to do this. All right? This is something that I'm not saying with great authority, but I know it's true. Every time I've tried to love the poor from top down, it's exhausting. But every time I've been around somebody and they're just like I am, and I have a heart of mercy and God's with me, it's just, I experience Jesus, right? I experience what he feels about me. I experience, when I feel it towards the other person, I'm more clear that's what he feels about me. And that's just so cool that he loves people who understand they need him.